Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the last month, the breaking news roller coaster was running at double speed or maybe even faster. We started off with a presidential debate where President Biden underperformed, to put it kindly, and Donald Trump was spreading many mistruths, to put that kindly. Then there was assassination attempt on Trump's life. And then there was the Republican National Convention where Trump picked J.D. Vance to be his VP. And then under pressure, Biden dropped out of the presidential race and Vice President Kamala Harris rose to be the Democratic presumptive nominee. All of that happening in about 30 days. It doesn't matter if you're MAGA or a yellow dog Democrat. That's a lot to process. And now here we are 99 days out from the general election, about 85 days from the start of early voting here in Texas. So this ride isn't over. And I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted and I don't know how much more of this I can take. The stakes are super high and I do believe that our democracy is on the line. So I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, pressure. And there are people who have deep fear. If the Democrats win, they're talking about a civil war. So this is a lot of people have these feelings. So how do we do our civic duty, stay informed, and then not tax our mental health with news-related anxiety? We're talking about that this afternoon. We want to hear from you. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tell us how you're feeling, how you're doing. Were you really down? Were you really anxious? Now you're feeling better? Maybe it's the other way around. We want to hear how you're dealing with this, and if this is impacting your sleep and your relationships, how much alcohol you consume. You know, we got to take the community's temperature, and how are we doing right now? We're joined by Casey Cook. She's a licensed professional counselor, and Casey, welcome to The Source.
Having me, David.
So, anxiety. You know, anxiety can be a good thing. You know, that's why we have anxiety. You know, we feel like if I'm walking out in the in the woods, I should have some anxiety about watching out for snakes and things that could do me harm. But the problem is when anxiety kind of like runs on overtime and we're starting to feel that stress response, constantly. So do you think right now with this news environment that we're in, that people are feeling that hypersense of anxiety?
Absolutely. And it's something I see on a weekly, if not daily basis, honestly, in the last few years. And, you know, the reason for it, our brains are not designed to withstand a constant barrage of info like we've got now. So whether it's doom scrolling, the constant notifications, the constant breaking news, we don't have time to process one thing before the next one's coming. Even when you were just saying all the things that have happened the last 30 days, and I was going, oh yeah, got to think back, like, these things just keep happening. We don't have time to process. So that leads to us just feeling overwhelmed and a lot of the time freezing, having that fight or flight reaction that you hear about. There's also the freezing part of that. So that keeps us in inaction when we stay in that state, when it's our nervous systems are constantly activated.
I also remember, you know, how we work. So I had to the same topic, a program I did a while back when COVID was happening and we were all trying to figure out, well, what is going on here? What is happening to the world? We're doing this big lockdown and stuff. And people were having a collective, you know, for lack of a better word, freak out. They weren't freaking out, but they were trying to figure out what's going on. But, you know, we know that trauma compounds, you know, and so people, I guess, could be triggered? Do they feel they fall back into a response?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you bringing up COVID too, that was, of course, that was when I really started to see it. And it came into the therapy room and it was something that I didn't have a lot of answers or methods, you know, trained on the pandemic. But when we start to have that stress response, that fight or flight, and you know, it there's a physical reaction. The the racing heart, the heart rate increasing, shortness of breath, all of those things. But it's also like the brain fog and the inability to really think clearly, which leads to feelings of helplessness and like we've got absolutely no control of what's going on.
So I'm reading about a specific news-driven anxiety, as if this is a specific thing. So are you coming in contact with some of your clients who say they are being pushed to the limit because of what's happening in our world, and they're learning about it through news? And I'm sorry, don't shoot the messenger, but, you know, anyway, are you feeling that? Are you hearing that?
Yeah. And so what I see are the kind of two reactions to that. And people are saying, I can't do it. I can't listen to it. I'm turning off the news altogether. I don't pay attention to news. I don't get political, and they shut it out. Or I've got the other end of that where people are like just inundated and it's constant. And there's this sense of, well, I have to stay aware. I have to pay attention to this. So I see two ends of that spectrum very often.
Right. So, and I get it. If people, if your mental health is being pushed to the limit, yeah, definitely. If you think the only way you can kind of survive right now is to tune out the news, then go for it. Tune out the news. But I think that hopefully you and I can talk about better ways to stay informed, but also avoid some bad habits. Like doom scrolling before you go to sleep at night, you know, lying in bed and you've got the phone out and you're just looking at every terrible thing in the world and all the terrible takes that people have. That can't be good for you as you're about to go into sleep mode, I imagine.
No, it's not. And that's, one of the things I specialize in outside of anxiety is sleep. And so when you're bringing that information right before you go to bed, no, you're not sleeping well. And when you don't sleep well, then that increases anxiety. So then you are stuck in this cycle where you are, you know, waking up in the morning or, you know, hardly sleeping at night, trying to function in the morning. You're feeling more anxious, then you're reading more news and you're, you know, not sleeping well, and the cycle continues. So yeah, I think the answer here is finding some sort of balance, which really is going to be individualized to each person, what that balance looks like. But generally speaking, the answer is not going to be shutting things out completely, but it's certainly, like you said, it's not going to be, please don't bring the phone into the bedroom with you and be looking at that right before you go to sleep. That is going to exacerbate the problem.
Right. And then have some awareness that the content is being curated specifically to get an emotional response out of you.
Yeah. Even just, the way it's designed, like the breaking news. And I think we all can say, like, sometimes it's not so breaking. It's not so pressing what we see in those headlines, but they're designed to get our attention. The notifications. Yeah. We automatically pay attention when we hear that, that ping or that noise on the phone. And the headlines
notifications. Yeah. Talk about this. Does Pavlov ring a bell when you hear about that? let's take a break here. And our phone lines are open. We definitely want to hear from the community about how are you doing with this environment of all this breaking news and the election and the stress. Are you going to step back from news? Or are you just going to be more careful about what you consume? And how is this headline-driven anxiety, how's that being seen in your life and the loved ones around you? So give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line is Casey Cook, a licensed professional counselor. We're talking about news anxiety, doom scrolling. That's a term that I guess new. It's new. Just lying back and scrolling up on your phone at the headlines and just seeing all sorts of bad news. Ice caps are melting, animals going extinct. Climate change is a real thing. Also, other issues around us, like this election, and stressing that each side is saying the other side is the worst thing ever. And we're not going to get into the politics of it. We want to talk to you about how we're going to deal with the mental health aspect of this all. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So catastrophizing, that's a new word for me. And so what is that?
So that is when that worst case scenario syndrome is what I call it. So that is when your brain is automatically, it is going to that, what if this awful thing happens? And it could be that it is like a 1% chance, but our brains are going to go to that rather than the 99% chance of something good or even neutral happening. So it's that just constant worst case scenario syndrome.
So I'm fixated on the super volcano at Yellowstone going to take out the entire planet. And then, it could happen, but it's such a minor thing that it's not going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen in my lifetime. So, but just keeping that in focus, you know, some people just get kind of wrapped up. And do you think they get like a dopamine surge or something when these stories cross their paths?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you know, when those notifications, it's that Pavlov, it's, you know, you hear that and you react to that and then you're wrapped up in this. And it's, you know, it's not the anxiety itself is, I don't think any of us will say that is a good feeling, but the engagement, then we profit from that engagement in this content.
So do you think people should turn off all those breaking news notifications on their phones? I don't have them.
The notifications, I will tell people, look, the notifications, at least curate them. You know, don't have 20 different things just going off to where you are constantly reacting to that and being distracted, and it's just this loop of negative or scary stuff going on. There are certain people who do have very heightened anxiety who I would say turn them off entirely, but I would say curate them for most people. And really, we should be the ones deciding when we are intaking this information. The phone, the social media should not be in charge of us telling us when to look. So rather than relying on those notifications, schedule time where every day you are going to read 30 minutes, an hour's worth of news, and then you're done. You're moving on from that. You're not responding to all the constant notifications.
Well, my job, you know, I need to be up on the news, and I've turned off all those breaking news notifications. I figured if it's that breaking, I'll find out about it. I don't need it, you know, hitting me on the top of the head all the time. And I when I go to bed, I put my phone in the other room, in my work desk at home. I don't like it in the bedroom with me. It's just a distraction. So I feel like I get a better sleep without it being in the same room.
I am so glad to hear you say that on the air, and I want everyone to go back to think about that, because I recommend that. If it's not in the room, then there's not even the temptation to look at it or to check it. And again, that goes back to you get better sleep, which then brings anxiety back down.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're not going to be political here. We just want to do a check-in on folks and how you're doing in this environment. And let's go to Bonnie. And Bonnie, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. So my husband and I are complete opposites. I get so overwhelmed that I have to take it in little snippets because, like you said, if it's breaking news, then I'll definitely find out. My husband, on the other hand, he's the total hyper-awareness, got to stay engaged and focused. And then it got to the point to where he had to basically take off his notifications, only access his email a certain way because of all the notifications and stuff like that. And either I'll shut it completely out when I'm overwhelmed and overdrained from it, or I'll just take little bits here like, okay, yep, that's what I thought. And that's what I have to do to keep myself sane now because it's just too much. It's just everything is just too much. And that's all I had to say.
Well, Bonnie, thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in on that. And so Casey Cook, your reaction to Bonnie?
I support the little snippets. I support doing what is that. And each of us are different. And you've got to protect your own mental health. So the little snippets, if that works for you, then go with it. I think we just, when we avoid that inundation, that's when we're all going to be better for it.
Let's go to Michael on the phones. And Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm calling because I remember 1968 very, very well. And what's happening today is nothing compared to what happened in 1968. Two major assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. Our soldiers getting killed every day in Vietnam and big riots going on. Today is nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what happened back then. And I think it's just being hyperbolized by the news to get people's attention. Thank you very much.
Well, Michael, thank you for the call. People have this impression that the world keeps getting worse and worse. In actuality, we've never been safer. More people have never been better cared for. It's when you look at what's happening in the near term and in the long term since 1968, the world is a much better place. Of course, we are dealing with serious challenges with climate change and what's going to happen, in this election. And but it does seem like, it's not as bad as it's the media tries to tell us it is. This whole thing about the immigration crisis on the border, that is completely not true. So Casey, can you talk about trying to keep things in perspective?
I think reminding ourselves exactly of what you said, that the world really is a safer place overall. I mean, absolutely, there are dangerous things going on, but paying attention to the good, the positive, making it a point to seek out, and this is not, to say any kind of toxic positivity. I certainly don't support that, but you got to stay balanced, and it can't be all everything that's going wrong. And I appreciate the caller for saying it, for pointing out that, like, kind of every generation or era, we do that. We're like, thinking it's the worst it's ever been.
But we have people telling us how bad it is all the time. That's their job. It doesn't pick your poison. These 24-hour cable networks with their breaking news notifications, telling us, who's going to kill you today, is part of what their that's their economic model.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go to Angela. Is that Angela? You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, sir. Short and similar to theirs, I find that most news is over-sensationalized. It's clickbait. The news is owned by three media companies. The only notifications I have on is for Roger Scott, my trading guru, and I make money with him, and he doesn't send me a bunch of stuff. If I want to know about something, I'm going to look for it. I want to be more in present moment. I'm actually going to learn to meditate this year. The best thing to do is to dig for true, real facts instead of just taking what's thrown at you. I just think people rely too much. And I work off my device. I'm an IT worker. I get jobs off my device. I do this, but every single notification I have is off, except for Roger Scott.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Angela. Appreciate that. So strategizing, making deliberate choices over what is going to be part of your news consumption, Casey, is that something that you tell your clients?
Yeah, and it sounds like that caller's got it figured out what works for them, right? So, curating your life in a way that's going to create balance for you, that's going to help you stay informed but keep your sanity.
Okay, and so let's go to another caller. Let's go to Mark. And Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I felt reasonably safe in this country before January 6th. And then I watched the National Guard not do anything. I watched people depend on Trump to rescue the Capitol Police. I feel much more imperiled in this world these days. And I hate to make something comical out of something that happened yesterday, but a tank fell off of a truck in downtown San Antonio. What are we doing? The cartels depend on Texas Republicans for their weapons. Are we supposed to feel safe in this society? That's not a rhetorical question.
No. Well, I hear you, Mark, and thank you for calling in and letting us know how you're doing. But so to that response, yeah, January 6th, did happen. It was an attack on our democracy, an attack on those Capitol Police officers and the members of Congress, and it could have been much, much worse. Let's not be Pollyanna about this and ignore the fact that, you know, if you're walking through the woods, just don't pretend like there are no snakes in the grass. You know, you have to be aware of these things. These threats can be real. Democracy is important to us, and it is under, it could be, you know, it looks like, you know, when you hear the Republican candidate saying that if he gets elected, you won't have to vote ever again. So that's kind of scary. But, you know, at the same time, we have to also process and live our lives. So, Casey, how do people strike the balance of being aware of reality, not trying to push it aside and ignore things, at the same time being able to can have reasonable control over their mental health?
Focus on what you can control. So in nearly every situation that you are worried about or that's going on, you've got some kind of control. And the more time you spend really just being fixated on the big picture or what you can't control, the worse it's going to get, the worse you're going to feel. And then, you know, nothing changes by that either. So I think when you focus on what you can control, you do become more productive. So are we going to come up with something that just solves all the issues we're worried about? No, we don't have control over that. But we can find ways to improve the odds of some things that we like to see happens, or at least be part of the solution.
So you tell people to be part of the solution, and that doesn't mean disengaging from the media, but you can still do that, volunteer for efforts that are going to be positive, and then people find that as a way to feel like they've taken control over their lives and avoid some of this news-driven anxiety? Because anxiety comes from this feeling of helplessness?
Yeah, and if you can shift out of that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness and just lack of all control, that's when you can start to make movement and when something productive and valuable really can happen. So you mentioned volunteering, and I see a lot of people who do. They volunteer, and it doesn't have to be volunteering in something political. It certainly can be. But just the act of volunteering, you know, helping others leads to increased happiness. You know, we've got research that supports that, but it also will lead to us feeling like we are part of that solution. We are working towards a goal. We're not just sitting there helpless, doing nothing. And then I think it's got the added benefit of a lot of volunteer work. You find your community and you find people who have similar values and views, and that makes a huge difference in how we feel.
And in this campaign season, volunteering can make a difference. People are looking for volunteers to write postcards, to send to swing states. There are phone banks that are happening here to work in other phone and go door knocking here locally. Doesn't matter if you're red or blue. There is something you can do in order to safeguard our democracy. We're going to take a break here and safeguard your mental health. So we are talking about news-driven anxiety, headline catastrophizing, doom-scrolling to make you feel terrible. How is that manifested? We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. You can call in. We want to hear how you're doing. Kathleen, I'll get you on when we come back from this break. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're doing a community check-in to see how you're doing with all the news anxiety going around these days, election anxiety. We know that in 99 days, we'll have Election Day in the United States here in Texas, and we'll see who will be our next president of the United States, if the White House will go back to Donald Trump, or will it be Kamala Harris if she becomes the official nominee for the Democratic Party? Two very different paths are being charted out for the country, and a lot of people have a lot of anxiety. I hear people saying, what is their exit plan if Trump gets elected? What will they do? How will they deal with that? That's pretty grim. But we are living in a steady drumbeat of headlines and social commentary that seems, you know, over the top. It's without pause, ongoing, and, you know, talking about racial injustice, climate change, election controversies, mass shootings. The list goes on and on. So how can we continue to consume the news, be aware, know what's happening, try to figure out what we got to do to create a better world without surrendering our mental health? We're joined by Casey Cook, a licensed professional counselor. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Kathleen on the phones. And Kathleen, you're on the air.
Thank you. Three observations. Back in 2020, when DJT was running for president, he told everybody exactly what he was going to do, and no one believed him. The media followed him around like he was Bengali, because everything he did and said was so outlandish. And so they repeated everything that he said, and they gave him so much airtime that it was sickening. Today, he's already told us that he is going to be a dictator on the first day he gets elected.
Right. So how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel outrageously angry, because we've been told what he's going to do. We know what he did in the past, and people have to come to realize we have to start working to change, to make sure that he never sets foot on the White House grounds again. And that is by, took me forever to get my, I'm not a computer literate person, took me forever to get my stuff ready, but I am now going to be taking people to the polls, because unfortunately we Texans are very bad at going to the polls. I am taking Democratic people to the polls the 10 days before and the day of the election. I am on phone banks to call people and make sure that they have their voter registration going. And I just watched the media, and I heard an IT man say that if you hear anything on the internet, you check it with four other at least minimum sources to believe what you see on the internet, because there's so much
right.
disinformation and misinformation happening. So I am fired up as can be. I talk to my church friends all the time. They're tired of me hearing about it. But in case we don't believe what he says, he's already proven
right.
he does what he says.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much. And I'm sorry you're angry. And hopefully you'll get to hope that we can be hopeful. You can be positive that there are many people like you, and we have a democracy, and we will, have faith in the process. So, Casey Cook, a licensed professional counselor, what did you hear there?
I love that you asked her. First of all, are you coming after my job asking how that makes her feel? Because you heard behind that anxiety or the outside emotions, there's anger. And anger is a really good thing to have, because that leads to action, and that is exactly what the caller outlined. Is I am angry, and I am doing this. I am taking people to the polls. And that takes the control back entirely when you can go, I'm angry, and here's what I'm going to do about it. Again, not ensuring the outcome that the caller wants, right? But certainly taking steps towards making that a more of a possibility.
Let's go to Javier on the phones. And Javier, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Davies. I want to tell you, thank you so much. My last name is Ortiz, and I listened in about maybe 20 minutes ago, and I was confused about what the subject was. But as I've been listening along the ways, now I understand about how you're feeling. Well, I can tell you one thing. The way I'm feeling is I'm a Democrat. My family has been Democrat. I can't say somebody forced me to be a Democrat, but definitely with what happened the last time, some Russian person was living with another Russian lover in the White House, no names mentioned, but I was like, wait a second, hold on.
Okay, well, I don't know what he means by Russian people living together in the White House. As far as I know, that did not happen. But Casey Cook, a licensed professional counselor, people sometimes, you know, in this area, there's a mania. And, you know, I appreciate Javier calling in and talking about these things, and I want him to share how he feels and feel strong, you know, like validated that he called in. But also we have to be careful not to buy into some things that, you know, I'm sure he was speaking metaphorically and he was kidding, he was joking, he was trying to say something funny, but, you know, we have to stick to the facts, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where it comes into, you know, checking, and one of the other callers mentioned that, to check your sources when you hear something to go, okay, let me do a quick search there and see, is that coming up on other reputable sources, and what could that mean, and really being aware of that.
Right. I'm sure he was joking. Mm-hmm. But still,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But you know, let's just, you know, there's no need to joke. We know what we know. There's plenty right there to discuss. We don't have to embellish.
And you know, I think sometimes people joke when they're really uncomfortable or they're really scared.
Yeah.
And I can certainly understand the fear behind that.
Right. Well, I'm glad he called, and I'm glad he had a chance to have his say. But let me ask you this, Casey. Giving people an opportunity to be heard. And I wish I had been able to talk to him a little bit longer, you know, giving him more chance to be heard and have him feel like he was heard. But how important is that?
That is one of the most important things in my job, certainly, is that people want to go to a place where they will be heard, where they will be validated. And that's one of the important things when you're feeling anxious and feeling all these emotions around this, that you are not ignoring those and trying to push them aside. And certainly we want to shift and be able to focus on those things we can control. But we also want to acknowledge what we're feeling and give attention to that.
Mm-hmm. And people might hear that call and think that's exactly what I did with Javier, and I pushed him aside because of what he was saying. But, you know, we're live on the air and radio, and we have to make decisions on the fly. Let's go to Nancy. And Nancy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, hi, Dave. I just want to thank you and the rest of the employees there at the station, because you've been my lifeline for the last 3 days. This is funny. I thought I'd call and lighten things up a little bit, but talk about a withdrawal. Last Friday, I've been 3 days without any fiber optic. The router just went out, and over the weekend, I couldn't get anybody to come out until today. I think they're coming at 2, but talk about going from overload to nothing but you all. your station, you've been it, and you've been my lifeline. But I have slept better. I feel better physically and mentally. So now I'm thinking about doing away with my cable.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure the people who provide the cable services are happy to hear that, Nancy. So basically what Nancy went through, Casey, is that she went through an imposed media diet. She didn't plan it. It just happened to her. And then she is seeing the benefits of that. Do you recommend that people do a media audit and then maybe figure out how they can go on a media diet?
Yeah. I mean, and listen to that. Like, you pay attention to that, that my life was better when it wasn't controlled by my phone or by media. I slept better. I just felt better. Okay. Well, how can we incorporate that more? And again, it doesn't have to be a complete cleanse. It can be. You know, I think we've all had the experience where we've left our phone somewhere, or it's been broken or something, and we think, oh, I can't live without that. And then we go through the day, and it's like, this is kind of nice. So if you can incorporate that and only have these devices in your life in certain times, that's wonderful. That'll work for a lot of people.
When I consuming the 24-hour news channels, and when I see that they're basically just repeating the same stuff over and over again, I mean, it can be discomforting just to sit there and wash in the stuff coming from the TV set. But then you can kind of realize, you know, I could be doing something else. Like, I have a wonderful fiction around my house. I can read a lot of other things I can do. I can go work in the garden. So do you think people should be aware that, you know, okay, I am informed. Let's go do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're keeping track, I know phones will keep track of how long that you're spending on them. And sometimes looking at that will be what people need to go, oh, you know, 3 hours that, you know, at least 2 of those hours I could have been doing something else. I could have been engaging in a hobby or doing something that's really enjoyable. The news will still be there when I come back. And like you said earlier, if it's breaking, we're going to find out about it anyway.
So you think people are engaging in sort of maybe like a bias, you know, media bias confirmation? We're hearing that people are tuning to different stations because they want to hear versions of events that reflect the worldview they already have. But they may get some temporary satisfaction from that, but in the long term, it may just be still disturbing and increasing their anxiety. So we're going to take a break. I've got Andre going to be coming up on the phones next. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you coping with all this anxiety? We've got the election coming up in 99 days. So much on the line. I don't know how we're going to deal with it, but give us a call, 833-877-8255. The Source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about news-driven anxiety, and we're probably at an all-time high point of that in our society because of the election that's coming up in 99 days, early voting in about 65 days. We've had all these ups and downs in the last 30 days with Biden in and out and Trump up and down and all sorts of things. Give us a call. How are you coping? How are you feeling? 833-877-8255. 8255. Let's go to Andre on the phones. And Andre, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I guess in an age where most people get their news from social media, one of the things that's been helpful to me is to transition from a smartphone to a quote-unquote dumb phone. And I noticed that difference between the people around me using smartphones and me using my regular phone, and I just feel like they're so disengaged with what's around them that it is detrimental to their health, like you mentioned. There's times I allocate to get my news, and I've noticed that that has reduce the amount of time that I'm actually spending on news sources. I'm also an amateur journalist, and one of the things that I've learned is that there is no objectivity, that there is always something behind a certain news outlet. So I've learned to get stories from various sides and then make my own decision based on that. And I think what happens with most people is in social media, that use social media for their news outlet, is that they tend to lean to only one particular side of the story.
Right. All right, Andre, thank you for that. So there is a news bias, but the dominant news bias is that they want to keep you engaged. They want to keep you coming back for more. They don't want you to tune out. And it may seem, you know, I'm at cross purposes here because I work in news. I work at, you know, Texas Public Radio. I file for NPR on the occasion. I you know, do a lot of news. News is my life. Why would I be telling you to be taking less news? But, you know, what I'm thinking of is have you do it in a healthy way. Take news in a healthy way. And I'm hoping that we're able to do that. We're able to present news in a more healthy way here at TPR. We don't have that, you know, commercial-driven bias, but we do want to provide you the news that we can. So, Casey Cook, do you see how there are, you know, ways that these channels, social media people, they try to keep people hooked into consuming their content?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they survive. So that is the point, is to consume the content and then consume more. And, you know, people talk about the algorithms and getting on TikTok and you look up and it's been 3 hours or whatever that you've been doing this. And, So yeah, it takes quite a bit of self-discipline.
It can be hard. I'm swiping up video to video, these little, next thing you know, a bunch of time has gone by. Maybe if you do take note of what time did I start doing this and how much time I'm going to provide for this, mental, activity, like a mental vacation sometimes. But, but you can get lost in it.
Yeah, I tell people to set timers, and that works for some people. What happens for many people, though, is they hear the timer and they, kind of like your alarm. It's a snooze.
Just one more.
5 more minutes. Yeah.
All right, let's go to another caller. We have Tom. And Tom, you're on the air.
I was just going to say I'm a news junkie, and I use the cable news. I have the satellite radio, and I listen to nothing but news. I do listen to you guys. I read the paper. But I was going to say, it's like crack cocaine. And really, ever since, Trump has come on the scene, I'm hooked. I mean, if I could, I would spend the day, watching, TV. I'd have the TV on. I'll have you guys on. So like I said, it's addictive.
Don't you miss, Tom, the days when news was so boring that, we were like fighting about tiny little changes in the tax rate and things like that, and the stakes weren't so high?
Well, and that's why I say Trump. I think Trump has changed. He's changed the whole thing. It's not the same. Like I said, I went from a news junkie to a dope junkie on the news.
Well, thank you for calling in, Tom, and everything's going to be fine. I want everyone to know everything's going to work out. I have a lot of faith. I have a lot of hope. But so, Casey, we heard from Tom. He's definitely plugged in. And he seems to enjoy it.
Yep. I think the biggest question to ask is, is this do I enjoy this, and is it impacting my life? And for some people, the answer may be, I want to be doing this. This is enjoyable for me. It's not impacting my quality of life. Well, then it may not be a problem for that person,
Well, I do. This is my theory, that some people consume a lot of news because it gives them a false sense of control about what's happening in the world. Of course, it's an illusion. I mean, no one has control. All control is an illusion. But so people need to recognize the fact that these events will happen with or without them?
Yeah. I think recognizing the items over which you do have control, and being informed does give you some control. Being over-informed doesn't give you extra control. So, being able to recognize that no, I don't have an impact over the final result of these things I'm concerned about. All right. Where can I have an impact?
Let's go to Henrietta on the phones. Henrietta, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I have a lot of problems when the media does not warn him that if he has diarrhea of the mouth, which he does all the time, says calls people's names, ugly names, and says things that are not good, that they don't bleep him out, and I think that only empowers him to say ugly, keep saying ugly things, and that is not healthy. I wish the media would bleep him and tell him, we refuse to cover you unless you need to control the way you speak. Because your message will be sent, but you don't have to use that type of language.
Well, Henrietta, thank you for your call. We appreciate that, and I love your sentiment there. So, Casey Cook, we certainly have seen a coarsening of society with Donald Trump and some of the things that he has said. Is that also a product? Does that weigh on people?
Do the comments weigh on people?
Well, the coarse comments, the crudeness, the name calling, just kind of the all-out meanness sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're consuming a lot of media and a big chunk of it is mean comments, cruel comments, absolutely, that's going to take a toll.
Because in news, we're trained to focus on the conflict. Where are these two sides, where, and they focus more on what we have different from each other and not what we have the same. You know, I think we have a lot more in common with each other, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, a yellow dog or a MAGA. We all, you know, we have a lot in common. When I meet these folks out in at events and I talk to them, all stripes, you know, they all, you know, want to have good things. So it just seems like it's being, you know, manipulated, and maybe we ought to keep that in mind.
I completely agree with you. And I think, you know, when we have conversations with people, one of the things to be aware of is, are we having this conversation to actually understand the other side of it, to listen? That doesn't mean we have to agree with it. Sometimes it's an abhorrent view. Don't have to agree with it. But it can help us, going back to some of the things we can control, it can help us to understand where that other person is coming from. And I would agree with you that we do have more in common than we think.
Let's go to Robert on the phones. And Robert, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I've been angry since January 6th because I love our country.
Yeah.
And I love our democracy. And I have taken a position of keep staying informed, getting involved, to do something, to do my part as a citizen of this beautiful country to make sure that our democracy survives.
Mm-hmm.
And I stay informed. I use social media. I use your program. I use regular media to stay informed. And now I'm going to get involved.
Yeah. Well, Robert, I agree with you. I get angry too, but that's why I'm here to fight. And I, you know, but I want to engage people and let everyone know that we will get through this. I think I have so much hope. Things are going to be great. So we will get through this. Casey Cook, last comments. Do you think this optimism, does it play a role in helping people dealing with news anxiety?
Absolutely. It provides a balance. You know, when people hear someone like you say that, that has a huge impact. That takes away from that negative pile that they've got. And I think that we've always got to have some kind of hope. Otherwise, what are we doing?
And when do people realize, you know, I might need some professional help? When do people recognize a professional could benefit me struggling with things like news-driven anxiety?
When it is impacting your day-to-day functioning, your quality of life. Now, I think it is not abnormal at all to be upset about some of the things you read, to be anxious for, you know, a day or two. But if you're noticing the pattern, most days I feel like this, or I felt like this for a couple of weeks, then it usually can be beneficial to reach out to someone.
All right. Casey Cook is a licensed professional counselor, Texas-based. Appreciate you coming on, Casey, talking to us today. It was great.
Thank you, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.